Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 16, the Payavrata process of worship, text number 56, without any purport. So I'm just going to read the translations up to the verse, which actually has a purport. One should distribute Vishnu Prasad to everyone, including the poor man, the blind man, the non-devotee, and the non-brahmana. Knowing that Lord Vishnu is very pleased when everyone is sumptuously fed with Vishnu Prasada. Performers of yajna should then take, the performer of yajna should then take prasada with his friends and relatives. Text 57. Every day from Pratipat to Trayodashi, one should continue the ceremony to the accompaniment of dancing, singing, and beating of drums, the chanting of prayers and all auspicious mantras, and recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the right religious ritualistic ceremony known as Payavrata, by which one may worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I received this information from Brahma, my grandfather, and now I've described it to you in details. O most fortunate lady, establishing your mind in a good spirit, execute this process of Payavrata, and thus worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Keshava, who is inexhaustible. Text 60. I am by Sarva Yagyakya. Sarva Ratam Iti Smritam. Tapa Saram Idam Badre. Danam Cheshvara Tarpanam. I am this, Vai, indeed, Sarva Yajna, all kinds of religious rituals and sacrifices. Akya, called. Sarva Ratam, all religious ceremonies. Iti, thus. Sritam, understood. Tapa Saram, the essence of all austerities. Idam, this. Padre, a good lady. Danam, acts of charity. Cha, and Ishvara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tarpanam, the process of pleasing. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. This Payavrata is also known as Sarva Yajna. In other words, by performing this sacrifice, one can perform all other sacrifices automatically. It is also acknowledged to be the best of all ritualistic ceremonies. O gentle lady, it is the essence of all austerities and is the process of giving charity and pleasing the Supreme Controller. Purport. Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnur aradhanam param. This is a statement made by Lord Shiva to Parvati. Worshipping Lord Vishnu is the supreme process of worship. And how Lord Vishnu is worshipped in this Payavrata ceremony has now been fully described. The ultimate goal of life is to please Lord Vishnu by Varna and Ashram Dharma. The ultimate goal of life is to please the Vedic principles of four Varnas and four Ashrams are meant for worship of Vishnu. Vishnu Aradite Pumsam Nanyat Tosha Karnam. The Krishna consciousness movement is also Vishnu Aradhanam, or worship of Lord Vishnu. According to the age, the Payavrata method of Vishnu Aradhanam was enunciated long ago by Kashyapa Muni, to his wife Aditi in the heavenly planets. And the same process is bona fide on earth even now, especially for this age of Kali, the process accepted by the Krishna consciousness movement is to open hundreds and thousands of Vishnu temples, temples of Radha Krishna, Jagannath, Balaram, Sitaram, Gornitai, and so on. Performing prescribed worship in such temples of Vishnu and thus worshiping the Lord is as good as performing the Payavrata ceremony recommended here. The Payavrata ceremony is performed from the 1st to the 13th day of the bright fortnight of the moon. But in our Krishna consciousness movement, Lord Vishnu is worshipped in every temple according to a schedule of 24 hours of engagement performing kirtan, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, offering palatable food to Lord Vishnu, and distributing this food to Vaishnavas and others. These are authorized activities, and if the members of the Krishna consciousness movement stick to these principles, they will achieve the same result one gains by observing the Payavrata ceremony. Thus, the essence of all auspicious activities, such as performing yajna, giving in charity, observing vratas, and undergoing austerities, is included in the Krishna consciousness movement. The members of this movement should immediately and sincerely follow the processes already recommended. Of course, sacrifice is meant to please Lord Vishnu. Yajyai sankirtana prayai yanti hi sumedasa. In Kali Yuga, those who are intelligent perform the Sankirtan Yajna. One should follow this process conscientiously. As it says in the Padma Purana, smartavyaksaratam vishnur vismartak jatu na kinchit sarva vidi nisedyasyor etiyor eva kinkara. That all the rules and regulations are only meant for two things. One is to always remember Krishna and never to forget him. If one is actually able to do that, then one is fulfilling all the injunctions of all the Vedic literatures. Therefore, in the Bhagavatam, when we find different types of worship, we should understand that the goal of the worship is the same, because reality is the same. It's not that one worshiper has one reality that they realize, and another worshiper of Krishna has a different reality. It's all the same reality. And it's always the same principle. To accept that all this energy belongs to Krishna, and therefore, according to some method, utilize this energy to worship Krishna in such a way as to please him. And when we please Krishna, then Krishna appears within our memory, and that's called Krishna consciousness. And that's it. Therefore, it says, was achieved in the Satyayuga, Krite Tadaryato Vishnum, Tretiyam Yajito Mukai, Dwarpayam Parichariyam, Kalot Tadari Kirtana. What was achieved in Satyayuga by meditation can also be achieved in Dwarpayuga by sacrifice. And it could also be achieved by temple worship in the age of Dwarpa Yuga. And in the age of Kali, the Sankirtan, by chanting the holy name, one can achieve all perfection. Of course, it is not that there was one kind of perfection in Satya Yuga and it's different from the perfection in Kali Yuga, or that somehow or another there's one perfection by chanting Hare Krishna, another perfection by meditation, another perfection by deity worship, another perfection by performing sacrifice. It's the same perfection, that is to always remember Krishna and never forget him. The difference is that in Satya Yuga, people were not so much anxious about their security as they are in Kali Yuga. Everyone is anxious, what's going to happen to my body? Even if the body, we know that the body is going to die, but in the meantime, between now and I have to leave the body, what's going to happen? Is it going to be painful? Is it going to be comfortable? Am I going to get something to eat? Where is it? Do I have a place to sleep? So much anxiety in Kali Yuga, it's very hard just to meditate. Because we have hundreds and thousands of thinking, of desires, of thoughts going through our mind. So that was not it's not practical. And in the beginning of Treta Yuga, when people became a little more anxious about eating specifically, and they started to eat too much, as soon as we're anxiety about something, then we do something wrong. It's just inevitable. Just like, for instance, if one becomes too attached to sense gratification, then all one's relationships with others becomes perverted. Atyahara priyasas cha prajalpa nimagraha. So at the beginning of Treta Yuga, atyahara, people became anxious. They were wondering if we're going to have some prasadam tomorrow. They started to store the prasadam. Then before it went bad, they ate too much of it. And because they ate too much, therefore their minds became disturbed, their senses became disturbed, and Treta Yuga began. And therefore they had to throw some of their opulence into the fire to become unattached to it. Because the whole material endeavor is to become attached to the idea that the more toys I have, the bigger I am. And therefore, in Treta Yuga, people started to accumulate toys, excess food, gold, silver, whatever, and they had to throw it into the fire in worship of Vishnu, and then they came back to a more simple life again, and they could always remember Krishna and never forget him, and that's called meditation. Then when Dwarpa Yuga began, people not only they not only had too much food, they needed a bigger place to sleep. And as their sacrifice went down, so the demigods reciprocated because of lack of sacrifice, and either it was too much rain or too little rain, too much wind, too little wind. So many different disturbances. They had climate change at the beginning of Dwarpa Yuga. And therefore it became harder to grow food, and therefore people had to work harder. They didn't have time to read about Krishna, hear about Krishna, perform sacrifice. So therefore someone was appointed to do deity worship. And people came to the temple regularly as much as they could after work, because people had to work. They didn't have time to think about Krishna all the time. Because they were attached for sense gratification, therefore everything was arranged, so they had to work. Now we take it as completely 100% natural we have to work, because as I explained before, we ourselves have made everything complicated. And the main thing why we've made it complicated, because we've done the most sinful activities. The society has done the most sinful activity of killing the cow and bull. And therefore, they destroy the real economics. If you go to school and study economics, you'll get it all wrong. It's all nonsense. Actually, real economics is to protect the cow and bull. And without protecting the cow and bull, then people have to work like hogs and dogs. Because if the cow and the bull, they give natural fertilizer. You don't have to fertilize, you don't have to get artificial chemical fertilizer or pesticides or insecticides or anything. all you need is cow dung and bull dung, and the ground becomes fertilized. And you don't need tractors. You don't need to create industry. There's no need for industry to create tractors and cars and all these other things. We find Krishna and Balaram, even Indra, he's riding around a chariot. He doesn't have a Mercedes. Indra doesn't have, Brahma doesn't have a Rolls Royce. He rides around in a swan. So this industry in Kali Yuga is specifically for Kali Yuga because people are sinful. And therefore they need cars and tractors and all these communication facility to find out all the threats that are going on. They're going to prevent them from drilling into the earth, stealing people's oil, or stealing, or somehow or another, obtaining people's country's oils, their resources, all necessary for industry and technology. And what is the whole purpose? To get some food, something to eat. One can easily, with a bull, cultivate the land and get milk from the cow and everything necessary. Even shoes, you don't have to go to, if you're in the Veda cult, if you're in protecting the cow and bull, you don't need big malls with hundreds of stores to figure out what kind of shoe you're going to wear. Because first of all, there was no glass on the floor, on the ground. There weren't all kinds of horrible things on the ground. People could walk barefoot. But if you wore shoes, you didn't have to have fashionable shoes. Because people weren't interested so much in sex life, unrestricted sex life. Trying to impress the others that I got the best pair of shoes in the town. People have little reason to differentiate between each other. And therefore, shoes have become a big thing. In the airport, when we were distributing books, cowboys would come by. And the thing that would distinguish them would be the kind of boot they had. Some had boots made out of rattlesnake skin. Some had boots made out of elephant skin or whatever. So many different types of skin. Rattlesnake, duck skin, whatever it was. Leather. Cow leather. Bull leather. Rattlesnake leather. And they were proud of it. That's what made them important. I'm not walking around in ordinary shoes. I have rattlesnake shoes. Listen to them. Rattle, rattle. And people appreciate it. Hey, wow, rattlesnake shoes. And you go, yeah, right, man. All right, we're friends. You appreciate a good thing when you see it. Wow. All right. You're there. Where are you? You're in hell. But people, they could just, when the cow was dead, even its skin was valuable. You can make shoes from it. And those who were less than human beings, they could even eat meat after the cow was dead. But when the cow was alive, it was the most valuable machine possible. Because without compacting the land, without causing all kinds of air pollution, without all kinds of things that are distasteful, like fertilizers, chemical fertilizers, and pesticides, insecticides, and peoplecides, and all these sides, then one could easily get food, nutritious food, healthy food that would satisfy one. And the air was clean, the water was clean, people were not envious of each other because everyone was getting what they actually wanted and what they needed. But in Kali Yuga, everyone's envious that. Why? Because it's so hard to get food out of the land. Or at least they make it harder and harder because of the lack of intelligence. And therefore all kinds of horrible things they throw into the land. The land gets poisoned. The food is poisoned. The air is poisoned. The water is poisoned. People's minds are poisoned. And they keep on claiming, we love you, we're making progress. And therefore people don't have time to think about Krishna. There's no time to go to the temple. There's no time to perform yajna. And what to speak of time to sit in a quiet place and think about Krishna? One's mind is too agitated to do anything like that. So therefore the chanting is introduced because Krishna is personally appearing in the holy name along with the philosophy that there also has to be some philosophy how to simplify our lives. Simplifying our life doesn't mean to walk around naked in Ljubljana during the winter, and that's as simple as you can get. No, simplify life is how to live life according to the laws of nature, which ultimately means to live life. The real society is based upon cow protection. That's what Varna and Ashram is based upon. Cow protection so that one's economics are as simple as possible. And at the same time, one's agitation of the mind and senses is as simple as possible. Because if you can breathe real air, one automatically, the mind becomes satisfied. Otherwise, if the air is impure, then one will feel always dissatisfied. Always dull in mind. Because we not eat only food, but we also get most of our energy from breathing. 90% of our energy, according to Chinese medicine, comes from breathing. So if the air is polluted, we'll always feel weak and unsatisfied that we're suffering. We're deprived of some kind of nutrition, prana. And if the water is polluted, we won't get any energy from the water either. Most of our body is made out of water. And if it's polluted, we'll always feel polluted. We'll always feel unhealthy. No matter how much we exercise and do all kinds of things. No matter how much water we drink, if it's toxic in some ways, then we'll always feel like we're being poisoned to some degree or another. Even by drinking water. What to speak of breathing the air, and what to speak of the so-called food that people are eating. So Varnashram actually gives one material life. And then when one has peaceful, happy, enlivened, invigorated material life, one can think of spiritual life because one will not be feeling hungry all the time, that one needs something. And therefore, automatically, one can control one's mind and senses and feel satisfied by the Varnashram system. And the more one feels satisfied, the less one needs, then the more one can think about Krishna without deviation. So the Payavrata ceremony was rather a simple ceremony because they were in the heavenly planets and things are much simpler in the heavenly planets. And we can perform it here also, but the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is much more effective because by such association with Krishna, if it's done properly, then one will become attracted to worship the form of Krishna, such as the form of the deity in the temple, and therefore when chanting Hare Krishna, one will also spontaneously remember the form and worship the form, even when one is not in the temple. And then one will become inspired to perform some service to the deity called sacrifice. And the more we sacrifice to serve the deity in our mind or in the temple, then the more out of love if we do it, then the more Krishna appears within our memory, within our heart. And then the more we become Krishna conscious. So there's one process, there's just different degrees of following it, that's all. Maybe different ways of following it. But the ultimate goal is to please Krishna in such a way that he appears within our heart and we become Krishna conscious. He appears within our memory. But on the other hand, if we get too much caught up in not understanding how this society has deviated from reality, and therefore become enamored by the tools or the toys that material society is using in order to just survive or to distract people from the real purpose of life. If we get too enamored and think this is actually a civilization, then we won't appreciate the simplicity of Krishna consciousness. When we think that all these complications they made because they've deviated from Krishna's principle is actually progress, then we become enamored by it and we become deviated even more by it. So one should recognize we have to live in this society presently. The society has become very complicated, therefore it's very difficult to understand Krishna consciousness. We don't have time to hear. We don't have an inclination to hear. We're too busy trying to eat and endeavor to get more and more for our survival because we're worried what's going to happen the next moment, and therefore we're talking about all kinds of things. The pandemic, survival, the economics. We're talking about a million things, and if someone talks about Krishna, we think, why are you talking about something so irrelevant? Don't you realize we're struggling to survive here and you're talking about Krishna? It's like when I sometimes talk to the devotees and all the gossip, even going on ISKCON, who's in the hospital, who's dying, who died, who gave birth, who got married, who got divorced, who blooped, who joined. I mean, this is Krishna Katha, I guess, in some way, but most of the scandals, who did what wrong, all the horrible things someone did as a devotee. And then why don't we read a little bit of Krishna book? They go, my God, it's time to go. It's too much. I don't have no time at all. I'm too, sorry, I gotta go. Did you hear about so-and-so? No, what happened? Yeah, I knew it. That guy was a rascal. I knew he was a pretender. Would you like to read some Krishna? No, I'm really in a hurry, boy. I'm really super late. There's no way I have time for that. So we get so much caught up in modern society. We have a taste for mundane katha. And Krishna consciousness is somewhere out there. Something you do on the weekends. So I think I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes. Are you sick?
A little bit. Guru Maharaj, thank you first for coming back and giving us your wonderful association.
Why shouldn't I come back? You were all here. Why shouldn't I come back? You have to thank me for coming back.
Well, you could choose to go somewhere else and then...
Well, why shouldn't I come back here too? You're all chanting Hare Krishna and doing devotional service. And why wouldn't I come here?
Jai. Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
Thank you for being here so I can come back here.
Well, you know, this is a very relevant point that Your Holiness said, that people don't even want to hear about Krishna. They don't even understand the importance of hearing about the philosophy. They're so caught up in the race for survival. You know, it's all about survival and food and shelter and eating, mating, sleeping, defending all the time. So how can we penetrate their heads and get it into their heads that this is the solution, that this Krishna consciousness movement is here to help people? When they don't even want to hear.
Well, I guess we have to give them prasadam. chant the holy name. If they don't want to hear, something might enter. I mean, most people are innocent. They're not against Krishna. Therefore, we go out and do Harinam. Hmm. We give them books. We give them prasadam. That's how to do it.
Okay. Thank you.
And then we invite them, come, we have more prasadam. Here. Where am I? You're in the temple. We're going to talk about Krishna before you get prasadam. So some prasadam, they go, where did that come from? Ah, that was great. Give me some more. Yeah, this is the address. You can get more here. So they can come and hear about Krishna.
So somehow or the other, we must keep pushing on with this
move. Either we push on or we'll get pushed back. We have a choice.
Right, right. Okay. Thank you.
Anything else? Yeah.
Hare Krishna, what is the difference between criticism and dejstva, kak se reče, dejstva? Yeah, and facts.
Well, it's like you're playing a game of tennis and someone hits the ball out of the court and the umpire says, it's out of the court. He says, are you criticizing me? How do you... Now I feel bad. You've hurt my feelings. No, you just... You're the empire. You're supposed to call it things as they are. So Krishna, for instance, says, Svavitra hostra karara samstuta purusha parshu. People are men are like hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. So if we repeat that verse and said people are like those who are having illicit sex life, they're like camels eating thorns and drinking their own blood. People think that this is very, you know, not a very pleasant thing you're saying. That you're criticizing all these people, you know, who are in love. So Prabhupada said, I'm not criticizing, I'm simply repeating what Krishna said. So that if we repeat what Krishna said appropriately, of course not that everyone walks out and said, these people are crazy, they're completely fanatic, but appropriately. Presenting Krishna conscious philosophy, that's called, it may be criticism, but it's constructive criticism. Now, if someone's about to walk over a cliff because they're blind, and you say, stop, you're about to walk over the cliff. Are you calling, you're blind. Are you calling me blind, you rascal? I'm gonna go faster just to show you. What are you telling me? Some people's feelings, we try not to hurt people's feelings, but, for instance, in audiences, we may have to say the truth so that, you know, someone may wake up. Otherwise, if everyone is like a lemming, which is the animals that just supposedly commit suicide by jumping over the cliff, everyone's, and you don't want to hurt their feelings by saying you're a lemon. You're in danger of jumping over a cliff. And one of the lemons said, well, my God, you know, I was just following all these other lemons. Maybe I should do something else. I'll follow you instead. So sometimes we may have to say strong words so that at least one of the lemmings doesn't jump over the cliff with everyone else.
Okay. Jai, thank you.
Anything else?
Hare Krishna, there are two questions on the internet. Avadhuta Raya Dasa, in the CB commentary, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati writes, by following only the path of regulative principles, the worship of Gaurasundara is hindered. What are your thoughts on this? Thank you.
Well, we want to come to the platform of spontaneous love, but in order to do so, we have to follow the regular principles. So we become liberated. Otherwise, our mind and senses will drag us away. And instead of coming to a spontaneous love, we'll come to a spontaneous lust. So we have a choice. Either follow the regular principles and go to spontaneous love of Gauranga, where there is no impediment, or not follow them and go to, you know, spontaneous materialistic sense gratification, like the hogs and the dogs. They're also in spontaneous, but they're spontaneous for sense gratification. Okay, thank you very much.
And one more.
Okay.
From Avadhuta Raya Dasa again. From Prima Vivarta, spoken by Jagadananda.
Jagadananda.
Yeah. I will beat anyone with a stick who neglects Chaitanya and honors other renunciates. I will throw fire into the mouth of anyone who leaves aside the discussion of Chaitanya and talks about frivolous or meaningless subjects.
Keep your mouth
beat
closed.
Beat anyone, throw fire into the mouth. What do you think about this mood? Hope no one in ISKCON will become this fanatical.
Yeah, keep your mouth closed. It'd be pretty painful. I mean, this is Jagannanda. He's saying like that. There's no history of his throwing, you know, walking down Jagannath Puri, throwing fire in people's mouths. This is just an expression that he's so concerned with people's welfare. Somehow or another, he's going to inspire people to chant and hear and chant about Lord Krishna, Lord Gauranga. But he never did anything like that. It's just some sentiment. So we should be afraid. We may think, well, this might be Jagannanda. If I talk some nonsense, who knows what's going to happen to me? Yes.
Wasn't Jagadananda Pandit, I don't know what to say, Satyabhama in Chaitanya Leela? And Satyabhama is known to be very fiery. Is that right? Jagadananda Pandit is Satyabhama in Krishna Leela, come as Jagadananda Pandit?
Yeah.
So she has a very fiery nature. So because of that, that same mood continues in...
Because she has a fire in nature. She throws fire in people's mouths.
just an observation.
Okay, good. Thank you. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.